everyone, it's Vodka O'Clock, the podcast, and I'm Amber Love of AmberUnmasked.com. This episode is sponsored by Audible, so for a free trial of audiobooks, go to audibletrial.com/AmberUnmasked. Today I have two guests to talk about the integration of costuming or cosplay with charity events and promotional work. So for information about the big event that I help organize, it's called New Jersey Superhero Weekend. You can find us in Facebook events under Superhero Weekend, October 6th and 7th at Comic Fusion. My first guest today is Cheryl Kamek from the Occupational Development Center in Lancaster, PA. So she's here to talk to us about her event and hopefully recruit some superheroes for their annual picnic. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amber.
So your facility trains adults with developmental disabilities to enter the workforce. Now, do they actually live there at your facility?
They don't. We actually are called the Occupational Development Center, and we serve individuals over the age of 18. And we currently have 107 program participants that we serve. Most of them have Down syndrome, but most of them, they have to have an MR, mental retardation diagnosis, to work here. They work here during the day. Normal hours are from 8 to 3, and then a lot of them live in residential facilities, or they still live with their parents at home.
Okay. So before we talk about the fun details about this picnic that I've heard about, I was wondering if your facility has any problems with, you know, holding up during this really tough economic unemployment crisis that we're having in the country.
Sure. Well, the great thing about the Occupational Development Center is we actually have very low economical prices. We follow the piece rate, where individuals get paid per piece they do. So our prices far match other different mail centers because we process mail. We also do small product assembly, and we have mobile work crews that go out to different job sites to do different types of facility work. And our mobile work crew, we take about 6 of our most highly functioned individuals out to, let's say, we go to do a landscaping job. Well, we only charge for 6 individuals and an experienced supervisor for $12 an hour. So our prices cannot be beat. So actually, with this economical time, we're actually doing pretty well. We still are always needing jobs to do in-house, but right now we have currently 32 mobile work crews that go out into all of Lancaster County and a couple in York. So we've actually been benefiting right now with the economy being so bad. Most companies are turning to us to get price quotes, and we've been pretty successful in that area.
Well, that's some good news for a change. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the annual superhero picnic that you're having. It's going to be Friday, August 3rd.
That's correct.
So, how can cosplayers volunteer for this event?
Sure. Well, August 3rd, it's called our ODC Summer Superhero Picnic Extravaganza. And from 11:30 to 2:45 on the grounds of the center, which is at 640 Martha Avenue, we're right where the old stockyards used to be in Lancaster, we are looking for anyone that wants to dress up in a full superhero costume, whether it's Spider-Man or Batman or the Hulk, Catwoman, you know, Avengers, Captain America. We're looking for them to come to the picnic and surprise the individuals, maybe be there for a photo op. They would be fully fed. We're going to have tons of food. Individuals are going to play games, and we're going to surround the whole day around superheroes. A lot of our individuals, don't really have a lot of things, and a lot of them live in group homes, so their parents have been deceased. So really, this is the only thing that they look forward to every year besides the Christmas party. So we try to make it such a successful event. It's not a fundraiser. It's just a day where we give back to our individuals to make them feel excited to come to work, but then also know that at 11:30 that day, they're going to have a blast. We do all different types of picnic games, and last year we ended up doing an 80s theme, and we had a Michael Jackson impersonator come, and they were ecstatic, and they're still talking about it. So we want to make sure that we can get some superheroes to come out for the day, and you would just contact myself at the ODC, and I can make sure that I would take care of you if you would help us in making that day a big success.
Okay, so normally when we talk about planning for taking costumes to an event, and especially if people have never been there before, let's talk about some things that they can expect. Okay, so you're going to be feeding people, you're going to have, first of all, you have your own parking.
Yes, we have parking. Yep, we have a full center for parking. We have changing rooms and areas that the superheroes could change into, and if they wanted to change out the costume and spend the day with our individuals, that would be great. Anyone that does come, they will get full love from our individuals. Those individuals with Down syndrome, they love people, and they watch every superhero movie. I think everyone is so excited. I guess this week The Dark Knight Rises comes out, so they are all gearing up. A lot of them are wearing their Batman shirts and stuff, and they are just ecstatic. I mean, this is really individuals with developmental disabilities, they get excited for little things, and this is really a big thing. So it's basically paying it forward and giving back to the community, and you'll be surprised how exciting people that have helped in the past have just felt like it was just an amazing day for them growing, being with individuals with disabilities and kind of going outside the limit and trying to help out in different areas.
Okay, and so one of the things that I know is from being in costume, you're going to get hugged a lot at charity events. You will get hugged. You will get hugged a lot. So when it comes to deciding which costume to bring and to wear, if you have something that you've spent thousands of dollars on, just you might want to reconsider which character you're going to be, because if you have armor that can, you know, or jeweled pieces, anything that's jeweled or anything fragile that's going to break off, or any sort of swords, weapons, and things, you just might want to rethink which type of costume you're wearing.
Right.
And it's a picnic, but it's inside?
No, it's actually outside.
Outside?
We do have an awning in case of rain, it's rain or shine. We have a huge awning, which actually we've used that for our stage, and we put chairs around. So if individuals come in costume and they have a really intricate costume, we can make sure that no one goes near them if they're just going to come and just kind of like wave to the audience and stuff like that. We can always make accommodations for that. The other thing that we're planning on doing is we wanted to get a video clip. We have like a big kind of jumbotron looking projector and a screen, and we wanted to put up like a video clip, and I'm trying to find someone out there maybe in this network that would be able to put something together, whether it's Marvel or DC, and something that the individuals could watch while they eat popcorn before the superheroes would come out. We're also looking for something like that too.
Okay, so hopefully somebody with videos and editing skills at the ready will be able to contact you and
be able to
work that situation out as well.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think that superheroes are important?
A lot of the individuals, they look up to superheroes. They feel that, I think it brings strength to our individuals. They feel that if a superhero can conquer the world, that they feel that their abilities are, you know, like they have their own superpowers. A lot of the individuals like all the movies and feel like they can, you know, tackle the world when, you know, they have their own powers. And I feel they think it's important because, it, you know, they're there to save the day, and the individuals look up to them for that reason.
How is the rest of the staff there? Are they looking forward to this?
Oh, yes, all the staff. We're having a contest for the individuals. If they come fully dressed in their superheroes, a lot of them got a save the date card 2 weeks ago, so they do know when the picnic is, and they're already working on getting some costumes. And staff participate, too, which is really great.
Okay. So let's get some of the top information from you, Cheryl, before we let you go. What's your website?
Yep. With our website information is www.odcenter.org. And you can also check out our Occupational Development Center Facebook page, as well as calling the center and asking for myself, Cheryl Kamek, at 717-397-4269.
Okay. Is there anything else that you think that we might have missed?
I think that sounds good. Just come and expect to have fun and sign autographs and feel like you're paying it forward.
Okay. That sounds great. Hopefully, you guys, if you're listening, you'll get in touch with Cheryl as soon as possible, because she will get out information in their newsletter to make sure that everybody's aware of which characters to expect and what to look forward to. So don't forget, it's Friday, August 3rd, and it starts at 11:30. Cheryl, hopefully I'll be talking to you soon.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Amber, for your time and this opportunity.
You're welcome. And joining me right now is James Hannon, who is going to talk about a particular area of his life that might surprise people, because besides being an author, James and his wife Jackie are members of the Star Wars costuming group, the 501st. So, James, welcome to Vodka O'Clock.
Thanks, Amara. Glad to be here.
So explain, if people aren't familiar with the 501st and the Rebel Legion, what it is, because when I first saw them, I didn't realize that this was actually an organized group.
Well, what the 501st is, it's a bunch of guys across the world, actually, who dress up in Star Wars costumes. Not just any Star Wars costumes, but screen-accurate costumes that look like they came right off the camera, the film. And we go out to events such as Comic-Cons, charity events, hospitals, to promote Star Wars and charity events.
Okay. And are they, I know that the cartoons are also a really big thing. So are the costume requirements applicable to the live-action movies and the cartoons and the comic books? Because there's several series.
Okay, well, there's three main sections of comics, of costumes. First, we have the first three movies, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Jedi. They're the original trilogy, and that's the main one. There's also the newer movies, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Return, Revenge of the Sith. Those are all scouts. Then we have the extended universe, which is basically anything in the comic books, the books. We have anything that's not on screen. We also forgot about the cartoons that are running now. Those count as anything in the Star Wars universe. So the movies, the cartoons, and the extended universe have costumes that count for to being the 501st.
Okay, and I know that most people generally have more than one character when they cosplay, and in particular, though, I've seen you as a TIE fighter pilot. So is that from Empire Strikes Back?
No, this is from Star Wars, which is officially called The New Hope, but I never call it that.
Oh, I never call it that. No, it's just Star Wars.
But yes,
okay, because they might vary, possibly, right, from movie to movie?
Oh, yes. I mean, Darth Vader is... there's a different Darth Vader for each movie.
Oh, okay. But you chose a TIE fighter, so why did you choose that one?
Originally, I started off with a Stormtrooper. And I think most people in the 501st start off with Stormtroopers because they're not as expensive as, like, the more iconic figures like Vader and Boba Fett. But they're relatively easy to get if you know where to look. So I was a Stormtrooper for a while. And a Stormtrooper is one of the most uncomfortable costumes you can find. I mean,
It looks like it's very difficult to walk.
It is, and there's a term we lovingly known as armor bites. When you take that armor off, you basically have scratches all over your body where the armor touches where you bend.
Okay.
Because you're
not getting them necessarily custom fit to your body. You're going to the guy who makes the armor, and you're getting the armor, and you hope that it's not going to be too awful.
Right. I mean, a lot of us get the armor from the original guys, or from the original molds, and once we get the armor, we get our Dremels and we trim it down so that we trim the armor down like at the bending point so that it's easier to wear.
Yeah.
But even doing that, it's still rough on the edges.
Okay, so the TIE fighter pilot, which I know a lot of people call you Darth Vader because it's a black costume and the helmet shape and everything. I know that a lot of people just call you Darth Vader.
Yeah, it's funny. At an event we were at last weekend, some little kid was yelling, "I am your father," and the mom slapped him. "That's not Darth Vader." It's the funniest thing. But the reason I chose a TIE pilot is because it's an armored character. It's kind of iconic, but there's not a lot of armor on the body. So you can sit, you can bend, you can kneel, anything. You know, you have chest armor and a helmet. And the great thing about the helmet is that the TIE pilot is also called the bobblehead helmet.
Right, okay.
Because it's so big. And you have a lot of room in there. Some of the other helmets are rather small. I mean, the Stormtrooper helmet is kind of an average. You can't wear these things if you're claustrophobic. But if you wear, basically, there are other costumes, like the Royal Guard, the Red Guard that hangs out with the Emperor
Yeah, they're much more flowing.
Right, they have the robes on, but that helmet...
But the helmet, yeah.
...is one of the tightest-fitting helmets out there. I can't fit... My head can't fit into it.
Okay, so that's one consideration. Now, does it matter if a man or a woman wants to wear the outfit?
Not really. There are different... I mean, there are female stormtroopers in two ways. There's females in a regular stormtrooper outfit that makes it look like you're a regular stormtrooper. You wouldn't be able to tell if it's a man or a woman under the costume. But then there's the femme troopers, which I don't know if you've seen them, but they...
I've seen them, yeah.
Basically, they have strategically shaped
armor. They have boobs. Yeah, they've got boobs.
Yes.
I actually bought... The reason that I had to buy one was not for myself. It was when I was crafting a big Barda costume, and I tried making armor, and it was a disaster. So somebody had suggested Richie's Armor, and, you know, I think that's... His official name is Richie's Armor, Richie's Stormtrooper Armor. And to get the female breast shape, bare midriff, looking one, and I mean, because it's just a chest plate, I was lucky that it was very plain, and I could repaint it and use it for a completely different kind of character.
Right. I mean, it definitely is a cool costume. It's not an official 501st costume, of course.
Right. Right.
But if anyone wants to look, there's a trooper out there called Femme Trooper Julie, and she's not the original, but she's very popular right now as a femme trooper.
Okay. But that's not what your wife Jackie wears, because I've met Jackie, and she just, like, wears her pilot outfit, and she's good to go.
Our first troop was the 2009 Tom's River Halloween Parade, and Jackie went as a Las Vegas waitress, but everyone was Star Wars guys, and she went as a Las Vegas waitress, but we decided she was the Death Star waitress.
Okay.
And that's where you end up calling her. And throughout the night, she said, "I will never dress as one of you. I will never dress as one of you." The next year, she decided she wanted to become an Imperial crewman, which is it looks like a Star Wars officer. But the official is that she works on the TIE fighters, which is that's what I call her. She's my personal mechanic. But she saw how much fun we had doing it that she joined right in, and she... And now she started wearing the Rebel pilot.
Right, because I've seen her lately wearing the orange jumpsuit outfit.
Right, and it works great, because I'm a TIE pilot, she's the Rebel pilot, you know, it works.
It works, and you didn't have to, like, you know, beg her to do it, coax her, bribe her, say, "I will give you a week at a Vermont B&B if you do this for me." I mean, she just said, "I want to do this."
She wouldn't have done it if I didn't, come on, baby, let's try it, you know. But she found that it was fun, and you know, and she didn't like being there in civilian clothes. She likes having kids coming up to her asking for autographs and pictures.
That's true. Actually, that reminds me. One of the things that I do like about your troop is that you have those great trading cards. So they have, like, your stats on the back and all the, you know, these really cool things. And it looks like one of the original trading cards that I used to have as a kid.
When I started getting the 501st and I saw that the trading cards were available, I jumped on that so quickly. It was like, this is like the coolest thing ever. I was like, because you're right, they do. The newer ones don't look as like the old ones anymore, like the 70s versions.
Right.
But the ones I got in the beginning, they look like the old cards, and they were beautiful. They were great. And then we went on from there, because there's a guy out there who makes that takes little Star Wars dolls from the 77 series or whatever series that they have after that, and he puts them on a card, like mint on card. So he actually, I have my picture on a Star Wars mint on card box, and with a little stormtrooper in there. It's the coolest thing ever.
It is. It's great. I mean, I think it's great, obviously. But now, obviously, there are going to be some people who think that we're just, you know, dorky nerds, which, you know, whatever, we are. But so do you hide your 501st participation from your coworkers or your family or anything? Do you have to keep it a secret?
If you've seen my Facebook page, you know I have. No, I don't hide that at all. I think it's, I'll admit, I'm a geek. But one of the coolest things about being 501st is that there's more to us than just being geeks in costumes. I mean, originally the founder Alvin Johnson and they were just basically geeks. They liked dressing up as stormtroopers. Eventually, they realized that they could make a difference with charities with the costumes, and it was such a cool. I mean, it was just a revelation. It's like we can do good.
While being bad guys.
Right. While getting their geek on.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously you help us out because for you guys listening, James is also from here in the Jersey area. So when the opportunity arises, if I start booking like in January and February, I hit the 501st website as early as possible. As soon as I get my dates for charity events, I'm there and I'm plugging them in as quickly as I can because I want to make sure that they're there at the store or at the event. And why don't you explain to people how they can do that if they have a charity?
Well, if you have a charity, it's pretty easy. I mean, if you go to our website, but and again, if you're in Jersey, you'll find us. But if you go to our website in Jersey, it's the http://501ster.com. And that'll take us to you to our New Jersey website, where you'll see what we do locally, and you can there's an option there to book us. Now we don't do birthday parties,
right.
Because if we start doing those, we'll always do them. It'll set a bad precedent. But it if we do if you're looking, go to the website. And there's an option to book us. It'll give you the list of the reasons that you can book us, and you know the things we do, the things we won't do.
Right, and I love that it's actually because it's just like booking actors essentially, but it breaks down the different details that you might not think of when you're organizing an event. And for anybody, if it's your first time organizing an event, every bit of information you can get is gold. So you need to think about things like, is there a changing area? You know, is there adequate parking? Or, you know, are people going to have to haul trunks of this armor, you know, through five city blocks or something? Will you be able to provide water or food or anything for them once they get there? Is there a bathroom on site or is it an outdoor event? So these are things that I think the website is very helpful at making your mind think about when it comes to event planning.
Exactly. I mean, we try to work with people. I mean, like I said, our first event was the Tom's River Parade. I mean, we basically changed in the parking lot.
Right.
We circled our cars around and basically just, you know, changed in the street. So
yeah.
So we try to work with people. I mean, it's perfect when there's parking. A bathroom, a changing area, you know, air conditioning. It's there's water. It's wonderful, and we love that. But we realize not every place has that can pull this off. So we do work with people on it. So, you know, we try.
Is it different? Because from obviously, I don't have like the world's best knowledge of Star Wars, but I was certainly a big fan growing up. Is it different to book the good guys than it is to book the bad guys and the stormtroopers?
Yes. I mean, there are two groups. There's the 501st, and then there's the Rebel Legion. 501st is the bad guys. The Rebel Legion are the good guys. Although, if you're in the 501st, you don't really think of yourself as a bad guy.
Of course not.
But if you want the rebels and the good guys, that the traditionally good guys, that's the Rebel Legion. And their website is http://rebellegion.com. Now, there's also groups that are not neither good nor bad. Those are like the Jawas, the Sand People, And the clones are kind of good and bad, because at one point they were good and they flipped over that. So these particular groups are in both the Rebel Legion and the 501st as costumes.
Okay, I hadn't even considered that. I just figured if they weren't Rebel Legion, they were in the 501st.
Right, but there's a whole bunch of gray area.
But there of course there is. Because we have here in the New Jersey group now, you had like a Tusken Raider at one of our events. Was he officially part of the group?
Yes, he's as a Tusken Raider or Sand People. He's actually in both the Rebel Legion and in the 501st. He's also in a thing called the Krayt Clan, but that's kind of a subdivision that's it's basically a subdivision of the group.
Okay. And this was the event that I'm talking about was called Superheroes for Haley. We had a little girl in the area who we were doing a fundraiser for. And it's one of those things where when somebody asks me to wrangle superheroes to raise money, it's like sometimes I can get superheroes, and we had like 30. But other times I have people say, oh, but I don't have superheroes, I have G.I. Joe. And I'm like, okay, that works for me. I don't, as long as nobody's putting a restriction on me as the event organizer, I say, you're welcome, bring a costume, come along. So I was happy that, you guys had this, like, pardon me, I know he's married, but really sexy Han Solo with you, and you, hey, I wasn't the only one that said it. And he was a hit. He was a big hit.
That particular Han Solo, we actually call him Ham Solo.
Ham Solo, yes.
He doesn't need to hear this.
And he's on the stage. He's a stage performer, so he's used to it. He's used to, women having, going crazy for him, I'm sure. But you had everybody, every type there.
Right. I mean, and Superheroes for Haley is one of the, I love it. It's one of my favorite events I've done, just because it's such a variety of people there. I mean, this superheroes. I mean, there was a Superman, Alexander Rae, who looked just like Christopher Reeve.
He's great.
There's a Batman. There's Spidey. I mean, all these great characters were there with the Star Wars folks, and we were doing, and some of our charity events aren't as directly, but this was directly for one particular kid. And it was such a cool feeling, to raise money, right there for one kid. It does
make a different kind of impression than, if you were doing. I know the 501st does, as a global unit, does things for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So there's a bit of, having that sort of global giving back, when it's just going to an organization. But here, this was a very specific thing, a very specific case. The people from that were organizing it in Flemington, like, knew her situation and knew her, and she couldn't be there that day. But it made such a big impact on all of the heroes that were there.
Right. And when it's one specific hit, there's a face to it. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not taking away from Make-A-Wish and the autism walks and all that, but they're walks. I mean, you see a lot of kids, but you're there to get attention for everybody. But this is one thing. It's the reason why I troop in the first place. She could help kids, and it's just a nice film especially when you see the specific kid that you're helping.
And that brings up another good question, though. Talking about kids, obviously, when I go to a Comic-Con, I see a lot of kids dressed up like Luke Skywalker. Once in a while Han Solo, but usually they're like Obi-Wan Kenobi or in the Luke Skywalker robes when I see kids. So what's the age requirement to actually belong to the 501st?
Okay, it's 18. Yeah, you need to be 18 to join the 501st proper. But we do have, a lot of our members have kids that dress up as, 4-foot-high stormtroopers. Our leader of the New Jersey garrison, his son is always at troops as a rebel pilot or Boba Fett, Jango Fett, and they recently, maybe couple of years or two or three at this point, they put together a thing called the Galactic Academy. The Galactic Academy is for kids under 18 that want to dress up as Star Wars but can't join the 501st because they need to be at least 18. The Galactic Academy is basically you need kind of like a sponsor, someone who's responsible for the kid at the troops, because that's kind of the reason why they need to be over 18.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're, you know, they're in costume, we're representing George Lucas's, you know, opus, and we have to be respectful. You know, kids under 18, you know, kids vary, but they may not have the maturity to do this and not to get themselves into trouble.
Okay.
But
and
the Galactic Academy is what is designed to kind of get them in with the supervisor.
It's a good starting point. It's a good,
right.
You know, first of all, it gets them familiar with it. They get to know people. They get to meet a lot of people. And, you know, they get to try it out. Because just like, I mean, as you're growing up anyway, or actually for any hobby, because it doesn't matter what age you start this, you might want to just test the waters with something and try one costume. And you might find that you don't like it. So, you know, for kids, at least there's a sort of welcoming area to say, you know, I love it when there was a kid that I saw dressed as a Jawa and they were just the perfect height. So it was the funniest thing I saw at the convention because it was just, I didn't know who the parents were, but I was just like, you are brilliant. You dressed your kid as a Jawa.
Yes, I mean, when I see the kids get a really good costume, it's really awesome to see, you know. If the Jawas are perfect, every now and then you get a Yoda, you know, like a good size
baby
Yoda.
Yeah. That is. It's got to be, and it, you know, it's difficult when it comes to sometimes putting things on kids that they're not going to just tear off, to, you know, obviously depending on the age. They're going to probably beat each other up with lightsabers. You just have to, you know,
exactly.
Be aware of that situation. And that was something actually that was really great that the 501st, actually it was the Jedi Knights did for us as well. They did a complete like training session, training anybody of, I mean, it was mostly kids, but it was anybody of any age that they wanted could get some instruction on how to fight with a lightsaber.
Right. I mean, I think those Jedis are awesome. I mean, they you know, they do it in a very controlled situation, and you know, so no one's getting hurt. I mean, I know there's been a few incidents with the 501st. Is that when the 501st have lightsabers, and the second the kid gets a lightsaber, they get this look in their eye like, I'm going to go cut something open with it.
Yeah, you know? they're going to go beat up their younger brother or something.
Right, but I've seen the Jedi at Philadelphia Comic Con and a few other places, and they're really good supervising kids with the lightsabers. It was cool to see.
It is. It's impressive. I think they take a bit of a martial arts approach to it. First of all, when you hand your kid off to somebody else for instruction, I think they tend to listen more because it's like, okay, there's a stranger and he's wearing this very stoic, official-looking attire that's telling me something. It's telling my brain that I have to listen to this person. You know, I mean, they look like monks. It gives this immediate impression to the kid that this is a person of authority that I need to listen to and not screw around in this little, like, 8x8 square area.
Exactly. And I'm sure they treat the kids like the under 10-year-olds. They treat them a little different. The under 10-year-olds,
sure.
You know they're listening most of the time. And with the older ones, they kind of want to be a wise-ass a bit.
I was wondering about, we were talking about casting of the armor, and that involves usually like vacuum forming and things like that. So where do people get their costumes? Is it required that you make them?
Yes and no. I mean, all the costumes, they're not store-bought, so you really can't buy them. And you kind of have to really dig to find armor makers. I mean, they're out there, they're not, you know, publicly, you know.
Right, you're not just going to look up, you know, Halloween costumes and get the same thing.
Right, but most people end up going to an armor maker to get their pieces. I mean, last year we had this armor party up in Massachusetts somewhere, And a lot of our guys, we went to a vacuum forming lab, and we produced a whole maybe 20 clone troopers, clone trooper armor, and we were just going through it. And I wasn't there. I was watching this on video. We do have the video up somewhere on our site. We just haven't figured out the right place for it. If you keep checking the 501stNER.com website, you'll eventually find it there. But we did our own vacuum forming, so we produced our own clone trooper armor. And it's a really amazing process where you get a clay mold. And again, I don't know the details of it, so I'm kind of going what I saw versus what the details were. But you get this clay mold. You put this in at the bottom of an oven with a vacuum underneath it. You put this sheet of ABS plastic over it, and then you pull the cover down on it, and it heats up. It heats up. The plastic, and then you pull down the plastic on top of the mold, and then sucks all the air out, and it takes the shape of it. So that's how we make it. So it's a really cool process how to do this. It's hard to explain, but it's on the video.
It is, and it's probably something that you can even find on YouTube if you just look up vacuum forming.
Right.
And because armor making is one of these amazing cosplay skills that I see people make with cardboard and Bondo and sandpaper. And
right.
They come up with, you know, RoboCop or Iron Man. And it's you have to have patience, which I didn't. Like I said, I tried to make some armor and it didn't work out. I don't have a lot of the tools that people use. They have, like, my Dremel was the craft version of a Dremel. I didn't have the super manly Dremel because I couldn't hold it. So I had the Dremel that it like fit in my hand and I could hold and it wouldn't go through the plastic.
No.
So these are things that when you're talking about building and constructing costumes, there's the soft stuff like fabrics, and then there's the hardware and the plastics and the molding and all of the props. So finding a good prop maker is possible, but these are things, as James was trying to explain, you can't just readily find the best quality because, first of all, people aren't going to advertise because they are copyrighted characters and, so they're trademarks and things and issues and licensing and stuff to deal with. Now, the 501st seems to be granted a lot of accessed by Lucas, which is amazing how he has welcomed the fandom, because not every corporation is necessarily like that when it comes to their characters. So you have to be very careful when it comes to making and selling
exactly
a costume of a trademark character.
I mean, the great thing about Lucas is that he was so smart about getting involved with us, because they saw that we were doing wonders for furthering the Star Wars legacy by making that fantasy real. So, if you go to a con and you have like five stormtroopers, it's like, wow, I want to see that movie again. You know, and
yeah, I think it's very good PR for the Star Wars film.
Right, and on our side, I mean, there are a lot of rules involved in how we do that. I mean, we're not allowed to do saber fights because we don't want anyone getting hurt by a Sith Lord.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of rules of how we can get away with it, with things, but as long as we really do right by Lucasfilm, I think we'll always be okay. You know, they Lucasfilm really appreciates us. In the Attack of the Clones, there is actually a regiment of clone troopers called the 501st after us.
Right. And how do you feel, though, about other movies that come out of, like, fanboys? And, you know, do you find that they are favorable?
I love fanboys. I mean, there's some negative stereotypes, but for the most part, I loved it. It was kind of goofy. I mean, I like troopers who don't take themselves very too seriously, and that's what Fanboys kind of was parodying. you know, as opposed to, it's like if you're in a Star Wars costume, you first and foremost, you want to have fun.
Absolutely. Your chances are, first of all, that you're going to be uncomfortable and sweating. So just accept that right off the bat. If you're not prepared for that, then it's probably not the right thing for you.
Exactly.
So in order to have fun, you know, make sure that you're with people that you enjoy being with and that you're in a safe environment, you know, like a really good convention or a charity event. And, take care of your possessions, because these things do get very expensive, and I would hate to think of, you know, somebody putting down a phaser and having it stolen, but I know that things at cons get stolen.
Right.
So be wary of those sorts of things. That if you are going to get involved in a costume as elaborate as a Star Wars costume, that is going to cost you a lot of money. So just be aware of that.
Right. One of the pitfalls of being an armored trooper is that with the helmet on, you really can't see very well.
Sure.
So we depend so much on our spotters, our squires, our friends, just to make. You know, to keep us safe. You know, that we're not about to fall down a flight of stairs. That, you know, that kids don't get too unruly about us. I mean, of course they'll want to play with the buttons, but there's the ones that, you know, really don't, you know, are a little more rougher than others.
Okay.
So our friends and spotters and squires and whatever you want to call them, they're kind of a good crowd control for us. So, and we have a T-shirt called the Trooper Scooper, where someone's always behind and picking up pieces that fall off your costume.
And you don't necessarily have pockets either. So you know, you're talking about having cameras and cell phones to carry around, and unless you've got the right uniform that has pockets, you're gonna need a handler.
Right. I mean, one of the great things about the TIE Pilot is that it has about 5 or 6 pockets all around it, so I can put everything in there.
That's great. So let's talk about your schedule for the year, because it's already the middle of a blazing hot summer here in New Jersey, and I know that you've still got things coming up, and I know that the group as a global unit has events coming up. So what's on the slate for you?
Well, let's see what we got here. Well, being that it's the heat of summer, we do a lot of library events in the summer. For the smart reason of it's air conditioned.
Yay!
And these costumes do get hot, so it's like having air conditioned. Being in a controlled air conditioned room is a lot better than being out on a day like today where it's 95, 97 degrees.
Absolutely.
So we have a couple of library events coming up. This Friday we're in the Scotch Plains Library. I guess it's 7:30. Saturday we're in the Lacey Library. Then the weekend after we have a thing called the Chrome Riders for Cooper Hospital, which is down in Mullica Hill. It's an event outside where there's a lot of motorcycles, and it's a charity for Cooper Hospital. I'm not entirely sure of the details behind that, but it's a pretty big event. There's a couple of more libraries, Little Egg Harbor on July 31st, and in Long Valley on August 4th. Then in August 13th, we have, we're going to be at the Somerset Patriots game in Bridgewood, New Jersey. Expect Darth Vader to throw out a first pitch, possibly.
That'd be great.
Then August 18th, we're going to be at a thing called Rocking for Autism in Maze Landing, which is... It's an autism charity where one of our members, Johnny Rotz, who is in a band called Tasting Grace, is playing a charity event, and he wanted us to come. He asked us to come out and kind of help bring attention to the event. And it's all to benefit an autism charity. And that's pretty cool. That's down in Maze Landing on August 18th.
Okay.
Also on 18th, but that's actually in Delaware. So our sister garrison, the garrison Carita, is down in Pennsylvania. I'm not too sure. It might be Carita, but they'll be at the Star Wars night with the Blue Rocks base, minor league baseball team. Then there's more libraries.
Okay.
August 25th, we have the Camden River Sharks baseball game. And then we don't have much booked in September yet, but we're still getting stuff in. And then comes October, and one of our favorite events, Superhero Weekend and Wonder Woman Day, which I think you know a little bit about.
I know a bit about that. Yes, I do. I'm grateful to say that I was able to get you guys on the calendar, like I said, because I knew that your calendar, especially for October, seems to get filled. When it comes to booking any type of costuming group, you have to understand that October is going to be insane because it's the New York Comic Con here on the East Coast, and it's Halloween, so everybody wants a costumed group for something.
Right, and the fact that you did a little bit earlier this year, which is great.
Yeah, because as
long as I can make it, I will always go to the Star Wars Superhero Weekend, Wonder Woman Day, because it's just a fun event, and it's for another great cause.
It is. We do. It's for Safe in Hunterdon, which is our county's domestic violence organization. So they actually do provide a transition shelter for family members who have had to be rescued, and they supply emergency rescue when that's needed, and a 24-hour hotline. So it's sadly a resource that is needed here in New Jersey, and we are very happy at Comic Fusion to support them every single year, and it's wonderful that the 501st comes out for that, because I understand that we're in Flemington, which is like central nowhere. It's not like a big tourist attraction anymore. So it's a fabulous time that any of the costumers who come out for that, it draws upon every fandom we can possibly get, not just superheroes, but we try to get everybody that we can just to come out and enjoy the day, the weekend, actually, the whole weekend.
Actually, a troop I look forward to every year. I mean, October's a great month of troop. We have Superhero Weekend, Wonder Woman Day. We have the New York Comic Con. I'm not sure. I think Garden State Comic Con is that month too, and then Halloween is. October is one of, is a great month to be in the 501st and Rebel Legion.
Yeah, it's definitely a great time to, because you know what? By then, a lot of the other huge celebrations are also over. So that's like October is our massive month for, you know, to sort of send off last farewells, last opportunities to meet up and see people very often, because when it comes to major conventions, you know, things like Dragon Con, we just had San Diego, which I've never been to, but the major cons are done and over. So, except for New York, you know, it seems like October is the time to come to the East Coast, come to Jersey and the New York area, because that's when things are going to be so hopping. It's always going to be in October.
Right. I mean, I know like last week with San Diego Comic Con, is like I'd see all these people that I know going to San Diego Comic Con. The pictures are going up on Facebook. I'm like, I want to go to San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah.
But I mean the fact that we have them on this coast as well. You know, we have them in New York in October. That's great.
We do.
Another thing I wanted to mention is that at the end of August, we have the big Celebration 6 down in Florida, which
right.
is a huge Star Wars convention. I mean, I was on the fence about going, but I couldn't make it the last minute this year. But this is where everything Star Wars happens. I mean, there will be hundreds, if not thousands, of troopers down there.
Don't they actually have actual, if you will, full-scale replicas of certain vehicles and things like that?
Oh, yeah. Every year they have something new and cool. I mean, last year, I believe it was an AT-AT.
That's what I thought. I thought I heard somebody say that, and I was like, no, that can't possibly be.
Yeah, it was basically just a prop. I mean, you couldn't get in it or anything, but it was there. The year before, the father and daughter from the Netherlands put together a TIE fighter interceptor where you could actually climb in, and leading up to the celebration, they built the building of the TIE pilot, the TIE fighter interceptor. It's like a TIE fighter, but it's a cooler version.
And also, yeah, that's down in Florida, so be aware again of the heat situation and costuming 101. If things like, you know, take a lot of breaks or stay hydrated, or if you can't hydrate in your costume because you can't get out of it to, you know, use the bathroom, just plan on only wearing your costume for an hour or two at a time. Because
right.
I saw people that looked like they were on the verge of passing out from the photos.
Right.
That I saw.
there have been plenty of stories of people passing out. If anyone has the Star Wars DVD that just did this, I mean the Blu-rays that just came out with the six, there's a wonderful documentary in there. I can't remember the name of it, but it documented a bunch of stormtroopers going down to the Rose Parade in Florida, and they basically trained a bunch of stormtroopers to march in sync, and it was wonderful. But during the parade, which is Florida hot in the summer, I guess I'm not entirely sure what. But it was just hot, and one guy actually passed out while trooping, and it was just because of the heat. And
I can't imagine what the paramedics have to go through if they're trying to, revive somebody in stormtrooper armor.
Well, that's the beauty of this, because everybody down there was understood. They how a costume worked. When the guy passed out, a bunch of stormtroopers surrounded him, and everyone armor off in seconds, that when the paramedics come, that they wouldn't have to break any of the armor to get to the person, which was brilliant for two reasons. A, it got them help quicker, and it saved the guy from having to buy new armor from getting it cracked open by the paramedics.
Right, because I can only imagine that they would need something like the Jaws of Life to crack into armor.
It sure feels like that.
Because you're not going to think about it. I mean, that's the way an EMT is. They don't care about your clothes. They will take scissors and slice through whatever you're wearing. They don't care how expensive it was.
But yeah, luckily all these troopers took matters into their own hand. They made the paramedics' life so much simpler.
That's good. And all of you slave Leia's out there, lots of sunscreen, lots and lots and lots, because I was Wonder Woman on 4th of July, and I am still suffering.
Oh, yes, I did see those pictures.
You saw my pictures of how lobster red I am. Yeah. Not enough sunscreen in the world for me. I am very, very pale. So please be careful of your skin while you're out there in the Florida sun and things like that. But do you have any last-minute things that you want to fill in? Anything that we forgot about?
Well, I mean, kind of just out there. But one of the things about the 501st that's really cool is that we're a lot more than you think we are. Worldwide, there are I have some statistics here. There are 5,846 active members as of today. Right?
I think that's fantastic.
Of those members, of 5,846 members, they have 9,507 costumes. Okay, so pretty much almost everyone has at least. It seems like everyone has at least two. And this is just in the 501st. Not, I don't have any numbers for Rebel Legion, but this is just the bad guys.
Okay.
Sorry, right. Of those numbers, there are 9,507 costumes. There are 2,996 stormtroopers and sandtroopers. So most people,
about half troopers.
About a third of the costumes, half of the people. So most people want to get into it via with the stormtrooper just because it's the most iconic.
Sure.
Right. The next costume that stormtrooper is by far the most popular costume. The next most popular costume is the Imperial officer, which only has 856 people who use it. And the Imperial officers, it's very iconic. It's also a very easy costume. Jackie's an Imperial crewman, but it's a costume that if you can't afford the stormtrooper armor, or you can't take the heat of it, an Imperial officer is a nice costume.
It's a sharp look, too. It's a very sharp, classy look, like you said.
And one of the great things about it is that you can wear it as you age.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the great things about the 501st is that because of it, because of Star Wars, which came out in 1977, a lot of the members are older, like in the 30s and 40s. So, I don't know if any of us could pull off a Superman or a Spider-Man anymore. But a stormtrooper, it's pretty covered up, and you can
do
that.
I actually recommend that to people sometimes when a lot of women in particular get very self-conscious about their bodies, and they say, the comic book costumes are so just too scantily clad, and everything's got a bare midriff, and women are just so worried that there's nothing they can costume as. And I said, don't worry. I said, if you feel that the only thing you can do is put on Harry Potter robes or Jedi robes, you can still costume. There is still something out there for you. And that's one of the things, as you're talking about with the stormtroopers as well, it's a modest form of creative expression.
Exactly. I mean, right now we have, there's a trooper out there, and his nickname is Old Sarge, and I think he's either 60 or 70. I'm not entirely sure, but he's troop. He was at a troop last weekend.
That's good.
You can get old in costume.
You can, especially when there's masks involved, masks and helmets and things. You don't have to look like you came from Hollywood, because your costume will do it for you.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I will be sure to put links into the show notes, but again, it was 501stner.com.
.com.
Okay.
And there's also the main organization of the international organization, which is just 501st.com. That'll take you right to the main site, which you'll get everything about the 501st, from its history to its bio to its stats to how to best go about starting a costume.
Okay, and I know that I'm not sure if he's from New Jersey or if he's a Philly guy, but one of our local Jedis is building a Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, but it's Aaron. I've been watching his Facebook photos with great interest. It's like, this is really cool. He's a Jedi, so I'm not entirely sure. I don't think he's in the 501st, but just I love watching these things get built from scratch. I mean, it's like wow, he's going to be a Jabba the Hutt, and I don't know where are they planning to.
I don't know. They're going to have to put it on like a parade float type thing to move it.
Right, but I mean, it's coming along wonderfully. I just love checking these things out, because it's like, wow, you're building the stuff that I only dreamed about when I was a kid.
Yeah, and that's again, costuming is such a huge hobby. There are so many different things. People find a skill and they work on it, and they, like me, I can sew spandex, and people ask me about costumes all the time, and I'm like, look, I don't make props, I don't make armor, I sew spandex. So, that's, I'm not going to commit to something like, hey, I would like a full-scale Jabba the Hutt for my parade float. No, I'm going to send you to somebody who knows what they're doing.
there's not many of those people who know what they're doing to build something like that.
Yeah, I mean, in another year, I'll just be able to paint myself gray and do it, but, but until then, I'm just going to refer you to a prop maker. so it's a way of being involved in costuming if you aren't even necessarily the one in the costume. But you could also, something that is very helpful if you like costuming but you don't feel comfortable doing it yourself, is get involved in the special effects arts, and there will be people lining up to have you body paint them, because there are Star Wars characters, and there's obviously plenty of comic book characters that don't have typical human-colored skin. They might be red or blue or something. So,
mm-hmm.
So if you get skilled at airbrushing and special effects work like that, go to the comic cons and make it known that you're looking for booking times with people. It'll probably be crazy, like 4 or 5 in the morning for a convention, but it will be highly, highly sought after.
That's good to know.
Yeah, I know that for Dragon Con, people do that. They start making their airbrushing appointments crazy early. But James, thanks so much. Where can people find you? Because I know you're on Twitter, obviously, and you're on Facebook. So why don't you tell us where they can specifically look you up?
Well, the easiest way to find me is go to my personal website, which is Lantern, LANTERN-media.com. And you want to take a guess where the lantern is from?
I know where the lantern's from. That's a Green Lantern lantern, am I right?
That's correct. Been a Green Lantern fan, so that's, I guess that explains why I like the superhero events so much.
Yep. And, well, you know, hey, and the Green Lantern, well, at least Hal Jordan, he's had his time as a bad guy, too, so that's... It's why you can go in either direction, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can, you know, you like your rebel guys, and you like your, you know, empire guys.
Yeah, you know, Hal Jordan could be Parallax, he could be a good guy, he could be a bad guy. Either one.
He is.
He still has a cool ring.
He does. But at least we've narrowed down that you just like to fly, so.
I think and Hal Jordan happens to be a pilot.
Right, so I think anything flying, I think, makes James happy.
I think so.
Okay, well, thanks so much for filling us in on the wonderful world of the 501st and all of the charity work and things that you have planned. Hopefully, some of our listeners will be able to get out there to you.
Yeah, I mean, we love getting new people, new blood into the Empire here. So whenever you need anyone needs information, come on out to the 501stNER.com website, and we'll try and get you into a costume.
Okay. And folks, if you're listening, if you're at any of these events, any of the library events, or if you can come to Superhero Weekend, remember, pack your cameras, take lots of pictures, because once you see all of these costumes, you're going to want a lot of pictures.
Exactly.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in again here at Vodka O'Clock. I'm Elizabeth Amber on Twitter. And, of course, you can find out more information at amberunmasked.com. Don't forget that we have a sponsor. You can go to audibletrial.com/AmberUnmasked to start your free trial of wonderful audiobooks. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks again to James.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Cheers. Good night.